Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and I'm glad to be able to share with you in another broadcast time today. As we gather together around the Word of God, you've tuned me in by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others have tuned me in by the way of Ionia, I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM, or over in the Lowell Ada area, 100.3 FM at 8 o'clock, and I welcome each and every one of you that have joined me this morning. Others have tuned me in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some have tuned in by the way of internet radio at earsradio.com at 10. I welcome you. Those that have tuned in by the way of my website is pastorkenharger.com. If you Google that and then you find out where it says current media, if you click on current media under the name Pastor Ken Harger, you will find the message from this morning. Been having a little difficulty in having that all go through, so I hope it's working well for you. I tested it about a dozen times this week, and so whatever way you tuned me in, I'm glad to have you sharing with me this morning. And by the way, you know, last week I told you we had this big ice cube in our front lawn here at the lighthouse. Now about half of the lake is open. There's waves out there, folks. Can you believe that? Here we are at this time, the 12th of January, and the lake is open again. At least half of it is, and so I guess we just accept the way that things are. I need to say thank you to those who helped me with the financial part of my broadcast. And by the way, I do need a couple more sponsors. If anybody is interested in sponsoring my broadcast, just get a hold of me, and we can tell you what it is and what's involved with it, and I'd be very glad to have you become a sponsor. Glory Spencer in the town of Orleans, she's a Spencer. She's one of my supporters financially, and her husband was Spence, and so she does it in memory of Spence. That was his nickname, and as I mentioned, she's from Orleans. Doug and Noreen Lane, they are from the Sheridan area, and Bill and Judy Hammond, they're from the Belden area, and I appreciate the support that is given. I appreciate Kay Ann Kingsinger. She had some surgical work done, but she's making progress, and she's working away on the messages. She's working on the ones for February, so we're looking forward to be sharing messages with you. This Sunday at Shiloh Community Church, our weekend of worship, as we call it, begins Saturday evening, 6:30. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, contemporary services at 10:45. And at Shiloh, I'll be speaking at all three of the services this coming week. And because of the fact it's a memorial weekend when we remember all of those that passed away in 2019. And over to the Greenville campus, that's the old Calvary Baptist Church, corner of Grove and LaRae Street, Sunday morning at 11. And we're just glad to have God working in our lives there as a congregation. And we look forward to what he's going to do in the future. As we are waiting to get a pastor, we are searching for a new pastor. But in the meantime, Jim Lacey, who was at Greenville for about 10, 12 years, he is our intern pastor, and he's doing us a good job, and we appreciate him and his ministry. Well, I think that takes care of the things I need to take care of, other than, as we realize, we're into the second week of the new year, and this week I want to be talking about the messages. Tragedies are part of life, and they are a part of death. And we need a partnership with God. I'm going to talk about the tragedies in the first part of the message, and then we're going to end the message with the partnership that we have with God that gives us comfort through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And what a privilege it is for me to share with you in our time together. And we got a song we want to listen to kind of get us started for this morning. And this song is talking about when he gone, when my time is gone here on planet Earth. Some of this will be thinking about death and the hope that we have in Christ. So this song starts right out singing. So I'll just click the button, and we're just glad to have you joining us this morning.
Lord knows I've made mistakes. not the least of which I'm proud. But I got down on my knees and begged him, please, to hear me somehow. Forgive me of my sins and show me the light. Let me follow in the truth, dedicate my life to you, so in the end I'll be alright. So when it comes my time to go, I've done all that I can. I'll have a smile on my face as I join the angel band. So please don't cry, 'cause in my heart I'll know I got Jesus on my side, so my soul will be alright when it comes my time to go. There's no easy way around. It's a climb up to the top, but if we keep the faith, live for you each day, believe with all I've got, stay humble as a child, then when this old life is through, I won't be alone. Christ will take me home like he promised he would do. So when it comes my time to go, and I've done all that I can, I'll have a smile on my face as I join the angel band. So please don't cry, 'cause in my heart I know I've got Jesus on my side, so my soul will be alright when it comes my time to go. I've got Jesus on my side, so my soul will be alright when it comes my time to go.
What a beautiful song, folks. What a beautiful privilege for us to understand that that's what God wants for each one of us. He wants us to get on our knees, ask him for forgiveness, and knowing that he will forgive, and also knowing that he will be able to do all that he said he's able to do. I want us to keep this in our minds as a background of our message for this morning. We're talking about the realization that there's tragedies in life. And there's tragedies in the dying process. And we need to know that we have a partnership with God through his Son, the Lord Jesus. And once again, I want to pray for the listening audience. You're the reason I'm here at the Lighthouse. You're the reason I'm sending this message out this morning. So let's just bow for a moment of prayer. Father, excuse me, once again, I come to you and ask for your blessing to be upon the listening audience. And Father, this morning I'm thinking about the spiritual needs that we might have in our audience this morning. Maybe some have never made that time when they just got on their knees and said to God, I know I've messed up. I know I haven't done what is right. I know there's been some good that I could have done that I didn't do. And Father, as they would do that with you, confess their sin, you tell us you would forgive our sin and you would cleanse us through your Son, the Lord Jesus. So I pray that you would work that out in the listening audience this morning to give us a very special time together. In the meantime, Father, I want to pray for whatever their needs is that they're going through today. Some are having some physical needs. Others do have spiritual needs. Others have got some family needs and things just not going well in the family unit. Others, dear Father, have some financial needs. Others are dealing with the physical things of life, the pain, the suffering, the surgeries, the recovery from surgeries, battling cancer, all the many things there is to our life today. And I pray your special blessing to be upon those that's going through those kinds of things. I ask your special blessing to be upon the older sheep of the congregation of the radio broadcast this morning. Maybe they're in a nursing home. Maybe they're shut in their own home. And they're listening this morning. I pray, Father, that you'd give them a good hug this morning through your word. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, folks, as I sit here and look at the lake half froze and half thawed, makes you wonder, what's going on? And you know, when we think about the idea of tragedies in our life, tragedies that is faced in a dying process, we need also to say, what in the world's going on? What's this thing life all about? Why does there need to be tragedies? And some people blame God, some people blame the human race. We're living in a broken world, that's for sure. We're living in a world that the Bible said was it came near the ending of the time that the world would wax worse and worse. He said it would get more difficult to live your life on planet Earth. And I believe we do need a partnership with God for comfort, for strength, for encouragement. And I'm so glad that we just went through the Christmas season, which showed us how much God loved us, that he gave us his one and only son. You know, this is a verse that I like to think about sometimes when I'm thinking about the difficulties of life, the tragedies of life. The Lord isn't slow to do what he promised, as some people think. Rather, he is patient for your sake. He doesn't want to destroy anyone. But God wants all people to have an opportunity to turn to him and change their way they think and the way they act. I believe I want to read that verse again. That's pretty powerful, folks. You know, the Lord isn't slow to do what he promised. Some people say that. Well, why didn't God do something about it? As some people think. Rather, he is patient for your sake. He doesn't want to destroy anyone, but he wants all people to have the opportunity to turn to him. That means asking for forgiveness and change the way they think and change the way they act. That's in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I want to use this idea of this verse as we think about as a foundation, as we think about the tragedies of life. You know, in the book of Acts chapter 2, when we look at the human side of things, we would have to conclude that Jesus' death was a tragedy. Listen to what it said when Peter was preaching one day. He said, "Men of Israel, listen to what I say. Jesus from Nazareth was a man whom God brought to your attention. You know that through this man God worked miracles. He did amazing things, and he gave many wonderful signs. By using the men who didn't acknowledge Moses' teaching, you crucified Jesus, who was given over to death by the plan that God had determined in advance. But God raised him from the dead to life and to destroy the pains of death, because death had no power to hold him." You know, when we think of tragedies, Jesus' death was a tragedy. All that he had done for the human race, all that he had accomplished, the teaching that he's given, that are still around today and are still just as fresh today, 2,000 years later, as they were the days that he gave them. We need some of those teachings of Jesus in our life. And yet at the same time, they crucified him. They crucified him. And he died. And I say that's tragedy. He was only 33. He had done so much good. That's a tragedy. But God raised him from the dead. Now he's living at the right hand of the Father. And he's there to make intercession for you and to make intercession for me. What a privilege we have to look back and be able to see these kinds of things. Those people at that time when it was happening, they couldn't understand it. They couldn't see it. And thus they didn't believe it. But now we get to look back. When we look at the events of the death of the Lord Jesus from God's perspective, as shared years before that happened through the servant David, we can understand that it's something totally different when we see it from God's perspective. I always see the Lord in front of me, David said. I cannot be moved because he is by my side. That is why my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also rests secure because you do not abandon my soul into the grave or allow your Holy One to see decay. You make the path of life known to me. In your presence there is complete joy. He was speaking of the death of Jesus. And he's saying, you know, it's a tragedy, but it's going to bring about some good stuff. It's going to bring about a blessing to your life and to my life. And the sins of the entire world was laid upon this one Jesus. Just for you and I to deal with our own sins is a lot for us to do. And Jesus had upon him the sins of the entire world. I like the way it is, just for one more thought along this line, of the beauty of God's goodness. Peter said, brothers, I can tell you confidently that your ancestor David died and he was buried and that his tomb is here today. David was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised with an oath that he would place one of David's descendants on the throne. David knew that the Messiah would come back to life and spoke about that before it even happened. He said that the Messiah would not be left in the grave, that his body would see no decay. God brought this man, Jesus, back to life. And Peter says, and we are witnesses to that. So that the bottom line is God will never waste the hurt. You're going through some difficult time in your life right now. We need to realize God will never waste the hurt. You know, I think it's so important for us to understand that God says he can take the ashes of your life and turn it into a beautiful thing. He can take all that misery of your life and turn it into a beautiful thing. Now, I don't know what you've been going through in your life, what tragedies you have experienced. I do believe that those kinds of things happen in everybody's life. There's things that we wish wasn't a part of our life. And that's the way it was when the life of the Lord Jesus. I want us to learn from a tragedy that was reported to Jesus one day. At that time, some people reported to Jesus about some Galileans whom Pilate, he was a leader of the nation, had executed while they were sacrificing animals. Jesus replied to them, "Do you think that this happened to them because they were more sinful than any other people in Galilee?" "No," Jesus said, "I guarantee you that they weren't. But if you don't turn to God and change the way you think and the way you act, then you too will all die. What happened to those 18 people was something else that happened right there in that area where this tower fell upon them. Do you think those 18 people were the worst sinners of all the people in the whole city of Jerusalem? No, he says, I guarantee you they weren't. But if you don't turn to God and change the way you think and act, then you too will die. I'm having trouble with my throat this morning. And I just maybe have to take a sip of water every now and then. So bear with me, folks. We're going to have, I have an appointment to get some of this stuff looked at in these days that lie ahead. But, you know, Jesus is responding to these tragedies of his life. You know what I've done in these later years of my life? I felt I didn't want to watch the news just before I go to sleep. Because it's not good things happening in our society today. So we get our news at supper time. We watch it between 6 and 7 time, sometimes 5:30. I got to pause for just a second and get a sip. I'm sorry about that. But that's the human side of our bodies. And Jesus is responding to those tragedies of his life. When we read or we hear of so many tragedies a day, it causes us a whole lot of difficulty. Jesus said, do you think those were the worst people in the community and that's why that happened to them? Jesus is saying, no, don't think that way. He's trying to remind us that death is a part of life. And we never know. And besides, way back in the Bible, when God had only created Adam and Eve, and when they had their two sons, Cain and Abel, one of the sons killed the other sons. Now, did you ever think about that? They couldn't blame anybody else. Why did they do that? Sometimes we say it's a society we're living in. Sometimes we blame it to all the different things there is to blame it. It's the way the human race is. Brother killed brother. And the world is young. And the people are few. And now, in this day and age, the world is full. And the people are many. And so we're going to hear about so many other tragedies. So what I need, and I believe what you need to help us, is the mindset of Jesus when he thinks of these things. No, they weren't the worst people, he said. God is saying these tragedies of life and death are to remind you and are to remind me that death is a part of life. Notice what he said. But if you don't turn to God and change the way you think and act, then you're going to die too. And he isn't just thinking of the physical death. He's saying you need God in your life. Excuse me. You'll have a spiritual death. And the spiritual death is so much worse than the physical death. And when we think about that, that's what he's asking. He wants us to change our minds and repent from our own sin so we can understand that God doesn't want these tragedies to take over our life, but to be a part of the forgiveness that he gives to us. I love the way the tragedies of all Jesus went through is shared in the book of Acts, chapter 8, chapter 3. But in this way, God made the suffering of this Messiah to come true. God had predicted that these sufferings through all the prophets. So change the way you think and act and turn to God to have the sins removed. These times of suffering that Jesus went through, I love the way it's put in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, which is a prophetic statement about how painful of a tragedy Jesus would suffer. And when he got all done with that, you know what he said? By his stripes, the stripes that Jesus went through, we are healed. God wants some good to come out of the tight, out of the difficult things you experience. Here's one of my things that I say about tragedies, and then we'll listen to a song and see if I can get myself cleaned up a little bit for my voice. Don't become bitter by tragedies. Choose to become better as you think about what God's trying to do for each one of us. Let's listen to a song, and I can get a sip of water and take a moment to get my mind, my heart, my voice back again a little bit so we can continue on. I'll be right back.
When death may come, it tries our faith by taking those we know. If we could glimpse the other side, we'd see that God must love them so. My God is the God of all good things. Each day with Him new blessings bring. Each miracle born on angels' wings. My God is the God of all good things. Though disappointments come our way that we can't understand, I know that I'm protected safe within day with Him new blessings bring. Each miracle born on angels' wings. My God is a God of all good things.
And when at last the trumpet sounds and Christians leave this place, I'll join the angels round the throne and lift my voice in highest praise.
God is a God of all good things. Each day with Him new blessings bring. Each miracle born on angels' wings. My God is a God of all good things. My God is a God of all good things.
My God is a God of all good things. Got a cough drop in my mouth. I'm hoping I can talk with this cough drop in there. But anyway, as I share with you the rest of our broadcast time, you know, we can might wonder too. You know, you get ready to do this and then your voice is giving you so much trouble. But God is the God of all good things. I want to talk about another tragedy. The tragedies of everyday life. You know, last year, as pastor at Shiloh, representing Shiloh, I did 92 funerals. Between our pastors, we did 99 funerals. And I need to tell you, folks, that's a lot of death. And death is a painful thing. That's why every year I do a memorial service. And this week, the memorial service will be at Shiloh. As I mentioned, I'll be speaking at all three services. Pray for me that my voice will be a little better. But you know, the memorial service is a reminder there's been a lot of death. And at that memorial service that we do, we give an opportunity for people to remember their loved one by lighting a candle in memory of that person that has passed away. But you know, death's a part of life. It's a painful part of life. Jesus, when he was here on planet Earth, he became acquainted with a family. That was a unique family. It was a brother living with two sisters. We don't have any information about how that came about, the parents' death, and so on. But this family was in Bethany, and they was a well-respected family. And Jesus became acquainted with them. And then when he was in the Bethany area, when he needed some place to stay. Jesus often stayed with them in their home. And Jesus is off quite a few miles away, and he was doing the ministry that he was called to do. And Lazarus got sick in Bethany. So the sisters, in their method, they sent a message to tell Jesus. Now you got to understand that message would take some time to get there. Those towns were quite a ways apart. They just couldn't send a text. They just couldn't pick up the phone and call. And Jesus was walking around with his cell phone, and Jesus, Lazarus, they're sick. The message arrived to Jesus, and it was just as the way it was read, or the way it said, "Lord, your close friend is sick." And when Jesus heard the message, he said, "His sickness won't result in death. Instead, this sickness was going to bring glory to God, so that God will receive glory through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. It was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Then when Jesus heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there where he was for 2 more days. Then after 2 days, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, not long ago the Jews wanted to stone you in Judea. Do you really want to go back there?" Jesus said this, he told them to the disciples, "Our friend," I love that, "our friend Lazarus," because the disciples often stayed there, "our friend Lazarus is sleeping, and I'm going to Bethany to wake him." His disciples said to him, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he'll get well. That rest is necessary." Jesus meant that Lazarus was dead. Then Jesus told the disciples plainly, "Lazarus has died. But I'm glad that I wasn't there so that you can grow in your faith. Let's go see Lazarus." And the disciples decided they would go with him too. Can I say this, folks? We aren't so much different than this family. We're not so much different to have some of the things that go on in our life, that we get sick, that some of our family members have died, and we feel bad and we want God to do something about it. Prior to death, they wanted Jesus to come running there and heal him, or Jesus even to speak the word where he was and heal him. I love what is said about this relationship that Jesus had with this family. He loved all three of them, and they loved him as well. But God is saying, you know what? This experience can be a learning process. Remember, we want to look beyond the tragedy of the moment. Jesus is saying, this death of this man is going to bring glory to God. How is that possible? But at the same time, Jesus is saying to his disciples, when you learn how to handle these things, you're going to grow in your faith. He's not saying to you and I, we make light of this, or we don't let this touch our heart. Or he's not saying it doesn't hurt. What he's saying is, we need to grow in our faith about why these things happen in our lives. I like the way it is recorded in the book of Romans, chapter 5. Often we don't want to think about this because, you know, you and I, if we had our choice, we'd have as little suffering in our life as possible. We would want life to be pretty smooth. We'd want all these to be something that is very special. You know, it's like somebody saying in Michigan we don't have enough sunshine. I wish we had always sun. You know, all of a lot of sunshine makes a desert. Listen to what God's saying about suffering. And I got to be right up front with you, folks. I don't welcome suffering any more than you do. One of the things that I've learned about this old age has a lot of hurts in it. And there's a different kinds of suffering we go through. But listen what he says. We rejoice in our suffering. How can we rejoice in our suffering, God? God said, when you know this, that's what he's saying to the disciples. You need to learn some things that's going to make your faith grow. When you know this, the suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which he has given to us. God's saying, do you understand? Even though it's painful, these painful things that we go through in our life can be a benefit to our life. It can be a help to our life. So Jesus is saying to the disciples, I want to take you with me, and I want us to see what the death of this man can do to your faith as it helps you to grow. I came across this statement. It's not scripture, but I like it. Every trial of suffering is an opportunity to grow in the faith. Let me say that again. Every opportunity of suffering is an opportunity, every trial of suffering, rather, is an opportunity to grow in the faith. We can grow. And we can grow through the hurting experiences of our life. You know, that's the way life is. And that's a lesson that God is going to share with the disciples as they go to visit this one family that had died, Lazarus. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. I love that. Mary stayed at home. Martha told Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know God, that God will give you whatever you ask him. Jesus told Martha, your brother will come back to life. Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is expected to come into the world. And after Martha had said this, she went back home and she whispered to her sister. She said, Mary, Jesus is coming and we'd like to talk to you. Mary was really glad to hear that. She got up quickly and she went to Jesus. Jesus had not come into the village yet. He was still out there where Martha had met him. The Jews were there comforting Mary in the house, saw her get up quick, and they said, I will follow her. She's probably going to the tomb to cry. When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus, she's saying, you could have prevented my brother from dying, and you weren't here. The main thing I want us to get across in this encounter that Jesus had with these two sisters is they both responded the same way. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Keep in mind that they had seen and they had heard about many miracles that Jesus had done. They'd seen Jesus and heard about Jesus healing many people from different kinds of diseases, even leprosy. And they was thinking, Jesus, if you would have been here, this could have happened. I love it that even Martha said, you know what? You can still ask God and he can do whatever God will do for you what you ask him to do. And we got to go back to what Jesus said to Martha. Martha, your brother's going to rise again. Let's look at Jesus about this idea of living again. Martha answered, Lord, I know you'll come back to life in the last day. But Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Martha, I'm the one that's going to make people come back to life. It's God the Father has given me that power. And through his death, which he didn't give to her at that time, he said, when I rise from the dead, that's going to give me the power to anybody who would place their faith in me will have the privilege of being resurrected one day. Listen to the way Jesus put it. He said, you know what we need to know is, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even though he dies, yet shall he live. That's a powerful thing, folks. That's a powerful thing for us to get a hold of that is a part of our life. You know what happened from that time forward? Jesus prayed to the Father. And he said, Father, I want you to give some glory in what's happened to this man, Lazarus. And Father, I know that what I ask, you can do. But I'm asking this so that these people will be helped in their life. Excuse me once again. I want this to be a beneficial thing. Grief can be turned to joy when we have a partnership with God, the living God, and his Son, the Lord Jesus, who was born, who lived, who died, who rose again. And through his resurrection, he offers us the promise of life. Oftentimes when I close a funeral, so I mean 92 times I probably said this year, my favorite words of Jesus is, greater love has no man than this, that one would be willing to die for another. And then the Lord Jesus Christ, him who knew no sin, was willing to become sin for you, was willing to become sin for me. And him, not because of anything he did, he surrendered to the death of the cross. And he died. And he was buried. But Jesus said this before he died. Jesus said, if I die, I will rise again. And 3 days later, he came out of that tomb to tell us, the last chapter of life isn't death. The last chapter of life is resurrection. There is hope. Mary and Martha and the people of that town of Bethany and the disciples are about to see the power that this one Jesus has. Jesus said to them, show me where you've laid him. We'll go to the tomb. We'll bring him back to life. Martha says, "To by this time he's begun to decay. The Jewish people did not embalm. He's been dead, Jesus, for 4 days. And Jesus got to the tomb. And I love the way he did this. It says Jesus shouted with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come out of that tomb, so to speak. And the dead man came out of the tomb. His body was wrapped with the grave cloth that they did at the time of burial for the Jewish people. And Jesus said, take the grave cloth off and set him free. Can you imagine, folks? Jesus made a dead man walk. I don't know about you, but I got to tell you, that gets my attention. Jesus made a dead man walk. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Even though a man die, yet shall he live. And that was pretty special. That was pretty special, not only for Lazarus, but you know what a sad part about Lazarus was? That he had to die again. Lazarus is one of the people in the Bible that died twice, physically. But I want us to think for a few moments, folks, about what a difference it makes when we have faith in one such powerful person as the Lord Jesus Christ, who made a dead man walk. He raised other people when he was doing his ministry. But now he's demonstrating to the disciples and to the people of Bethany and to Mary and Martha. This death of Lazarus is to teach us all about hope after death. Job asked this question way back in 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. Job said, if a man dies, does he live again? Jesus is saying, if a man dies, I am the resurrection and the life. He shall live again if he has faith in me. That's a partnership that we can have with this one, the Lord Jesus. And God wants us to have it. So here's what I think is the outcome of that partnership. It's the power of God as he reaches into our lives. In the book of Romans chapter 5, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what God wants us to have, and that's what he wanted the disciples to learn. When you trust in me, you're going to see all kinds of death, and there's all kinds of tragedies going to happen in life. It's happening in our life. But Jesus is saying, listen, the tragedy is not that people die. The tragedy is if we die and we don't believe in God and we don't ask Jesus to forgive us. So God says to us, you know what? When we believe in him, we have faith. God gives us peace. Now listen to about this peace. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, so keep your hearts and minds through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's reminding us the thing that's going to make the difference in my life, the thing that's going to make the difference in your life, is to have peace of God. But listen, folks, you can't get the peace of God until you have peace with God. And I believe all of us need to come to a point in our life when we make sure we are at peace with God, that we have flown, so to speak, the white flag that says, God, I surrender. I surrender to the fact that you say I'm a sinner. And I know and I believe I am. But you say you give us the forgiveness of sin when we ask you. And I'm going to do that. And when we do that, we have peace with God. But along with that comes the peace of God that helps us to get through all of the tragedies that you and I will face in our lifetime. I love another verse in Colossians that talks about this peace. In this verse, he's saying, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. You know what the idea of rule in your heart means? Let the peace of Christ be the umpire of your heart. Let it be that peace of Christ that lives within you, be the thing that you can grab a hold of when all the tragedies of life are surrounding you and are surrounding me. God wants that to be a part of that, that can help us when we realize the war is over between us and God. And now I'm a partner with God. And that partnership with God and his son, the Lord Jesus, can help me to have something that I really need, and that is peace in my heart. The peace that gives me the forgiveness of sin and the hope that I have of eternal life. One day Jesus was with the disciples, and with this I'm going to close. He was with the disciples, and he was telling them that he was going to die. And they didn't understand all of that because they thought he came to be the king of the world at that time. But this is what Jesus says, and this is my hope, and I trust it's your hope. Let not your heart be troubled. Do you believe in God? Jesus said. Believe also in me. That's what Jesus told Mary and Martha. Believe. That's what God was telling the disciples. We need to go there and see this thing that's going to happen with Lazarus, because it's going to encourage your faith. It's going to make your faith grow. Then he goes on to say this. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to go and prepare a place for you, and I'll go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? This is the bottom line, folks. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We need that partnership with God. That's important for our lives. Time for me to go, so we need to listen to this song. And this song is just reminding us of the faithfulness of God. And God's been faithful to you. And God is faithful to me. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for putting up with what I had with my voice. And I love you.
Great,
and God bless you.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be.
Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning. Mercies I see, all I have needed thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Pardon for sin, and a peace that endures.